Hello, friends and family and anybody in between there. Thank you for joining me for another Journey on the Fly, the podcast. You know the drill. You can find us wherever podcasts can be found. Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, Google Play, our website, www.journeyonthefly.fish. That's right, fish. So, here we are. I'm going to do a couple monologues, some short podcasts that are for those who don't know how to read. Just kidding, for those who are too lazy to read. And I'm going to do them pretty concise. I wanted to do a couple of podcast episodes. There are a companion article on the website under the blog. And I want to do it on Pennsylvania steelhead fishing because there's a lot of things out there that bother some people, including myself. There are some things that get left out. And basically what this series is for, or who this series is for, rather, it's for the beginner. It's for those that are a year to 5 years into this, that don't get to frequent the tributaries or the mouths of the tributaries. And maybe the three or four books that are out there, you don't have access to them. But I do recommend those books. I'm trying to get a couple of those authors on here to discuss some of it. We'll see how that goes. Nevertheless, let's get at this. Let's talk about Pennsylvania steelhead fishing. And this first episode is just a concise series for beginners. And part one, let me just get into it, okay? And at the risk of setting myself up as an expert, I thought it really necessary to ensure you that I'm not. I don't think there is anyone that's really an expert. And here's what I mean by that, because I have friends that are going to listen to this that are like, well, I'm an expert. I've been fly fishing up there for 355 years. You know, folks that are good friends of mine that were born when the Dead Sea was just still sick. So here's the truth about it. We in the fly fishing world, when we're honest and we let the world that governs fly fishing really teach us some truths about fly fishing and life in general, it's humiliating. And by that, I mean it's humbling. Because conditions are always different. The fish sometimes react differently. We'll talk a little bit about the conditions we've been experiencing now since kind of the beginning of steelhead season. In the beginning, there's not a date necessarily. It's more conditions that dictate the opening. But the reality of it is that, you know, when you have the kind of conditions that we've had with very little rain, the longer there's, well, you know what? I'm not even going to get into talking about that yet because that's for another episode and how to deal with those situations, especially when you have limited time off. But nobody's really an expert because the conditions change all the time. And that's not to say that, and I'm putting myself in a corner here because I'm a guide. I guide for steelhead. So there's things that you have to know. And one of those things is really the introduction that to this whole series that I want to bring up. Which is part of me airing some grievances, which I think a lot of folks would agree with and a lot of folks are going to get upset with. And, well, that's okay, because that's what makes the world go round in some respects. So the series is set up to give those who are new or who are struggling a bit of an edge that many of us didn't have. And although I advocate, out of my bias, to secure a day on the water with a guide, because you will learn things that cannot be put on paper and downloaded for practice. So what I mean by that, you must be on the water to take theory into reality. That's just the truth of it. And there's no better way to learn than days on the water yourself or with a guide. If you have limited time, but you have the resources to be out with a good guide learns, and I'm continuing this journey myself and learning to help your client fish. You fish through your client. And in the process of that, things get left behind. You glean from them, you download from them, that is from client to guide. And that's the best way, in my opinion. Now, before I step too deep into the data and experience of Pennsylvania steelhead fishing, let me air some grievances, okay? And there's one really big one that I see a lot on social media, and it has to do with social media. So, first, the biggest grievance here is the death of adventure. Social media is the opioid of the people when it comes to fly fishing in general, let alone Erie steelhead fishing. The good parts of social media, it connects people, right? That's I'm 47 years old. That's why I got involved with Facebook. It connects me to a world of lost relationships and stretched relationships. It allows me to see into the life of family and friends that I don't get to see on a daily basis or may never get to see in person again. When it comes to the fly fishing world, it's a way maybe to see what the conditions are like or, things like that. Okay. But I think it has its liabilities, and that's where my grievances lie. Many fly fishers have come, before me and have undergone the struggle, right? The school of hard knocks, and thereby, in my opinion, the only way that they've developed a sound character through fishing exploration. They've taken days out on the water as a real means to learn what to tie on, where to fish, how do the fish react, and so on and so forth. Now, in our current cultural moment of fishing, most, it seems, need the whole gamut of tools and tactics wrapped up and delivered before they ever wet a line. And here's my grievances with this. Now, I know that this is going to make me sound like a bit of a hypocrite since I do guide, but I hope that the listener, you guys can hear me, and it seems evident that there's a difference between a day on the water with instruction and asking Facebook questions on popular forums. Because here's something I want to point out about a lot of popular forums. Some of them are owned and managed by people making money, okay? So when I was in college, we had to take this, it was like a technical, I actually don't remember the name of it, but it was a tech class. And it wasn't so much learning how to use your computer and the software and things like that. One of the things we learned is how do you do research, right? So when you go to a website and you're looking for, you Google, you know, I don't know, what does steelhead eat, right? And then websites pop up and stuff, and you have fly shops and fly tires, and which is all good. That's part of living in America. That's the American dream. That's the beauty of just capitalism. You find all that, but you have to ask your questions. Why? Where's the website? Who's promoting the website? And why are they promoting this, right? Because if somebody said, this is the fly you need, and they sell that fly, well, put two and two together there, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, here's a little discernment. So when you come to a Facebook forum page, and there's a lot of them out there on Erie steelhead tributaries and things of that sort, be weary, because when somebody's giving you advice, I don't judge their intention other than outside of where I can see their intention. And if they own the forum or if they only promote their business on the forum, well, we have an issue, don't we? Because it seems like we can't, in my opinion, fully trust the advice they're giving us if they're looking to make money through that advice and through that platform. Now, I'm not criticizing that that's a bad thing. All I'm saying is it's a means to an end for them in many respects, because that's why we do those things. So make sure you spread yourself out from where you get your advice, okay? So, but here's my real, that's a kind of a grievance on a larger scale when it comes to people who do fly fish for steelhead, but people who have, you know, an axe to grind, if you will. Kind of like I do right now, giving this information, hoping that it inspires you in some way that, hey, he's educating me, right? I'm just being honest here. If I educate you, hopefully you see value in who I am and what I have to offer on the stream. So I'm just being honest, but I also have the intention, which I think a lot of these forum owners and administrators do as well. They generally want you to understand. They want you to have some knowledge, right? Nobody's out there like, I'm going to, you know, I don't think they own the Krusty Krab, if you know what I mean. I don't think it's Mr. Krabs, and all he is thinking about is money. These people generally want to see people catch fish and do it right and ethical and all that other fun stuff. But given the kind of the momentary cultural fly fishing situation that we're in, everybody's seen a lot of people, not everybody, that's an overgeneralization. A lot of people seem to want everything handed to them. You'll hear excuse. Well, let me get into this and I'll give you some of the excuses that I've seen. But again, the difference between asking a question on a Facebook forum and taking somebody out on the water, they're pretty vastly different, okay? At least somebody who calls a guide, whoever it is, me or whoever, at least they're making an effort to get their feet wet. No pun intended. So I don't really mean to be rude, but this is kind of, well, I'll just say it. Asking the deeper questions about fly fishing on forums is lazy fishing. And it turns the forward generation into the humans from the movie WALL-E. And if you haven't seen that movie, you can go on YouTube and probably find clips of it. But the general synopsis is that human beings have grown so reliant on the tech world and gaining information. And now we see it's even worse because you can go ask AI questions and get information from them, where the humans have become completely and utterly worthless. I mean, they actually have gotten fat and huge and can barely move around without the use of technology. And it's just an interesting story. There's some other narratives going on with WALL-E, this robot, and all that kind of fun stuff. But I refer to this movie a lot because technology has hurt in many, 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 many ways the adventure, the exploration of the outdoors. It's made it easier, but not easier in a good way, in my opinion, because it's destroyed. It's put to death adventure. It's put to death the journey. And our motto here is, it's not about the destination, it's the journey that makes you. Well, if you're so reliant on technology for maps and for where should I go, when should I go, what should I tie on, what are you really learning other than secondhand information? And secondhand information isn't inherently bad, but you don't develop that character, that sound fishing character, that grunt style fishing, if you will, that nobody can take you away. You don't learn enough, in my opinion, in depth that you could pass it on to the next person, because all they have to do is essentially circumnavigate you and go straight to the internet. And there's relationships, there's depth, there's so much there. And I know this is maybe sounds creepy, weird, and, you know, off the wall type of stuff, but just hear me out here. There's a depth to these things that we miss when we don't go explore these waters and the fly fishing and the fish without having to have everything handed to us. And here's what I mean. So these humans on the WALL-E movie, they seem to surrender their freedom to explore to more passive traits. And I'm telling you right now, anything that's in video form that's on a screen, even reading books on a screen, is more passive than picking up a hard copy book. The data's out there. Go look it up for yourself. Okay? And what we see is people ask these questions on forums like, well, where are the fish at? How far have they moved up? What flies are working? How do I get better at casting a fly rod? Why would you ask that question on a forum? Go hire an instructor. I got one that I can relate you to or get you in contact with. Reach me out. He's been trained by some of the world's best. So these are just not things that are learned in depth by having everything spoon-fed to you. And that's really what it is. So I'm airing these grievances now so I can tick a bunch of people off. That's not why I'm doing it, but so that I can move on and help. And because you're going to see these things. And now, and this is for the beginner, right? This is my attempt to say, listen, I know you only got a couple days off. I know it's a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hour drive. I get it. and you want all this information. What hole do I go into? Well, listen, my friend, I could tell you to go to this particular hole, but that doesn't mean those fish in those hole are going to take what you're throwing at them. You know, there's a, I heard it said on the stream the other day by a dude that was hook setting, just tremendously terrible, and lost, you know, you'd watch him, oh, I got a fish, got a fish. Well, I don't know if you got a fish yet, right? If the fish isn't hooked in the mouth and in the net, that's kind of some rules there for all kinds of fishing. But I heard him say this. He says, well, you don't leave fish to find fish. And there are times I think that's true based on conditions. There are times that that is not true, and it's a foolish thing to stay in one place for 8 or 10 hours. But sometimes that's fly fishing for steelhead, is locking your spot in, right? So that's my grievances. Get out. Build the character by exploring it yourself. I know your time is limited. I know how precious that is. I really do. You're going to get into fish. You're going to find fish. And there's more people on that stream that are willing to help you. Get up there. Get on the stream. Do the work. Do the respectable work and get into it. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm not trying to discourage you at all. I'm trying to encourage you to do this in a good way. Get out. Find out the hard way, if you will. Make the journey without knowing how to tie something on or what to tie on, how to cast to them necessarily, where might they be, and how do they, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because that's how you're going to grow. That is how you're going to grow. And I promise you, you won't regret it. And I also recommend picking up a couple stewheading books and a couple prospecting for trout books and things of that sort. Those are definitely not passive learning. So what is Great Lakes steelhead fishing? Well, let me start with a subject that is sometimes a surprise or at least doesn't get discussed enough. And that is, what about all these people, right? You look at it this way. The fishing is concentrated. So when the men and women fishing for them come, there's going to be a concentration, a massive concentration of men and women fishing. Think of it in terms of opening day of trout season in this state that doesn't end for months. That's a good thing. It's good for the economy of the Great Lakes regions. It's good for the fly, the shops up there. It's just good. It's okay, right? Just breathe. And I assure you that the amount of folks chasing steelies has grown, but it's okay. The response to COVID allowed people to discover the beauty and the wonder of creation, the great outdoors. That's a good thing. It's okay. Sure, it makes it not as easy for those folks that have been doing it for 15, 20, 30 years because they were used to. They remember the days of old. Well, the days of old are gone. That's okay. But the ways of the old to discover those things is where my grievance is. Okay, I'm done with my grievance. Maybe. I'll probably bring it up again. So look at it this way. So the fishing's concentrated. The men and women are going to be concentrated fishing them. So how do you deal with this? Well, first of all, just breathe. Okay? The rule of thumb is to relax and to relieve some anxiety in general. Just breathe. And some of those ways that you can kind of relax that anxiety is, you know, ask the question, how much room do I give somebody to fish? Or do I get to fish, right? So there's no, these are just rules of thumb. You're not going to find these in the fish and boats details of how to fly fish for, or fish in general for steelhead. But these are things that I think if we all began to follow more consistently, it would make it even better. And a lot of people already do this. So if you want a measurement of how much room do you give somebody or how much room should you expect? First of all, expecting room is a difficult thing because now you're kind of weighing the will of the person next to you. If the person next to you is not being respectful, just move. I mean, you could say something, but I'm telling you, they're steelhead. They're not worth it. There's plenty in there. Just move. But if you want a measurement of how much room you should give, give somebody upstream and downstream, to the right of you, to the left of you, about a rod and a half to 2 rod lengths. I think that's a good rule. That's 20 feet or 40 feet between you and the two people. If you could give somebody more room, give them some more room. There's no reason to bring dirty dancing moves to the stream. We don't have to bump and grind with each other. We don't need choreography. And if you don't like that kind of fishing, well, you have two options. Don't come steelhead fishing, or just prepare to walk and walk and walk and walk and not stop, because you're going to find a concentration of people. Doesn't mean you can't get away from people. And as the season progresses, those that don't like the colder temperatures, well, you'll have a little more room on the stream. Okay? So second, and I know you're probably a great caster, okay? But don't throw your line in front of other people. That's a really good way to make people angry and to get your leader clipped. You have a zone of casting that you've chosen based on how much room you've given people and how much room somebody else has given you. And if you're okay with that, to stay there, use that room and that room only. I've seen people literally stand within 3 feet of somebody and throw their line right up on top of where you're casting. That's just stupid and rude. Just don't do it. All right? And be expecting to not do that. And don't be the immature person that says, well, they did it to me. I mean, come on. That's really dumb, right? That's three-year-old stuff. I think we can do better than that. And I think a lot of people that steelhead fish, whether it's gear fishing or whether it's spin fishing, whether it's fly fishing or whatever the equipment they're using, I think a lot of people are pretty darn respectful. But it's those that don't get told this, that don't know this, that don't realize that there's courtesy, there's etiquette, and it doesn't get talked about too much, except when a fight breaks out or something stupid. Third, you know, when you hook a fish and it can't be contained in your area, let folks know. Announce you're coming up or coming down. Most people who have experienced steelhead fishing before will realize they pull their line out of the water and they wait. And they're very courteous. Now here's one I'm going to throw in there. And I talk to my clients about this. I usually do a two-person rule or a 4-5 rod length rule. I'm not going to chase a fish over 5, 6, 7 plus people's fishing spots. I'm not going to do it. If I can't contain that fish, and there's a lot of fish that can't be contained, I'm telling you, because they're beasts, I'm just not going to destroy somebody else's opportunity for a few minutes and mess up that fishing hole for a little bit. And sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. These steelhead are a little different than wild fish. But that's a personal thing. That's something that I pass on, because as a guide, you don't want to be... You're there with one or two people, right? And you're taking up more stream than just yourself. And you're taking something more from the stream than Joe, who just drove 5 hours to get there. So I try to be courteous to not ruin somebody else's fishing by making sure my client, you know, runs as far upstream as he can to chase that fish down so we can get it in the net. There's other ways to do it, all right? Just let people know. I've seen it happen. And one of the things you have to be, and we'll talk about fly rod selection here later, but one of the things you have to also realize is that if you're undergunned on your fly rod, you're going to have to run with those fish a lot more. So have the appropriate equipment, borrow the appropriate equipment, whatever the case is, because if you and learn how to fight a fish. That's a big, 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 big thing that is difficult to teach, because generally it's all theory until somebody hooks into a fish, right? Sometimes I'm able to catch a fish on purpose and I can show my client how. And that's good to demonstrate it, but they still have to feel that tug themselves to really begin to understand how to fight a fish. Anyways, different, just some things to add in there, some foreshadowing of episodes to come, right? So, fourth, be okay with somebody else doing the same thing to you. Be okay that if Bill two doors down here he's figured something out, man, and the fish are taken, right? And he's got to come up through, pull your line out, be okay with it. Because, you know, what's the golden rule? Do unto others as you wish them to do unto you. I mean, that's a good thing. That's a really, really, really good thing. So apply that to the fly fishing world and use it as a form of etiquette. be okay with somebody doing the same. Don't get mad and then be okay with you doing it, right? Again, we're not three-year-olds anymore. Fifth, realize you may be staying in the same spot all day if the fish are there. Now, although leaving fish to find fish may be necessary, and that's another topic for another episode, but be okay with that. Some people, like myself, I like to explore. I like to go. I like to meander. I like to get around. When I'm fishing for wild fish in central Pennsylvania or even out in western Pennsylvania, I'm moving. Different fish, different circumstances. Be okay and be willing to stay. The conditions usually dictate to that, and I'll get to that to some other time. So, finally, be well-rounded in your etiquette. This is kind of just a general statement of some of the things I've already said. Say hello. Talk to people. Help net if someone is struggling. I don't know how many times. It's very, very weird to me when I fish with people who don't even take a net trout fishing. And then they dangle that trout in the air, right? Because, oh, I don't want to touch the fish. But I'll dangle the fish in the midair while it's flopping around with a hook as it's making the hole larger in its jaw. But I won't bring a net because I don't want to handle the fish. Okay, I don't get that. And then some people just forget a net. Some people don't own a net. Buy a net, okay? Buy a net. And we'll talk about nets too in another episode. But if you see somebody struggling, be like, hey, man, you want to help netting that fish? Or, hey, ma'am, do you need help netting that fish? Most of the time, at a certain point, when you look on their back and you see they got a net that a brook trout won't fit in, and they got a 25 or 32-inch fish, they'll probably say, yeah, please. Thanks, man. And then, hey, take a picture. Help them, you know, be kind, right? And be human and treat others as though they are human. It goes a long way. Listen, friends, thanks for joining me. I hope this is helpful. I hope I wasn't too much of a jerk. I didn't mean to be a jerk. Anybody that knows me knows that, well, I hope you know I'm not a jerk. If you don't, hey, I just told you, right? It's like the humble guy saying he's humble. But anyways, listen, keep your lines wet and your flies in the mouth of the fish. Enjoy the journey. God bless.